all of you people here, why do we come to church? Is it to pursue God? If it is, I have three problems with that. First, Christianity is not about us pursuing God. It is about God pursuing us. Amen. Second, it implies that the only time that you pursue God is during worship. We praise God during worship. Shouldn't we praise Him throughout the week? Or are we too busy complaining about school or work or chores? We read scripture during church, but that shouldn't be the only time to satisfy a person who is truly seeking God. We are really nice to one another when Frank tells us to turn and greet each other. Do we treat people like that in the grocery store or while driving or when a telemarketer calls? Are we nice then? We bring tithes and offerings to church. What about the rest of the week? Are there no opportunities to help? We should never forget that Christ has given more. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. We pray in church. Well, the pastor does. Maybe we can get the pastor to come to our houses and pray for us on Monday through Saturday. The final reason I think we're not here to pursue God is because to pursue someone means that they are running from you. God is not running from us. Right. From Steve, maybe. But not from the rest of us. Mark Twain famously said, "The difference between the right word and almost the right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug." Let's replace the word pursue with the word seek. I couldn't find any references about pursuing God, but the scripture is full of references about seeking God. Our scripture today is Acts 17, 24 through 27. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us." Amen. God could have designed the universe in such a way that it would be difficult for us to conclude that there was a God, but he didn't. The universe is designed to show God's existence and his handiwork. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Do you still think God cannot be seen in nature? The goodness of God is evidenced in the daily victory of light over darkness, the annual return of spring over winter, and the triumph of life over death. Consider this. How many cultures have a religion? How many don't? Acts 14:17 says, "He has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving us rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides us with plenty of food and fills our hearts with joy." How foolish is the man who receives all these gifts of God's grace without acknowledging their source? The world was designed to cause us to seek God and to consider all the marvelous evidences of God's power and wisdom in nature. Another place that talks about seeking God is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. It is very interesting to look at what comes just before this passage and what comes right after it. Immediately before it are Christ's instructions, which tell us, do not judge. Is it possible that Christ is tying judgment to this question of asking and seeking? Is it possible that when we are judging a person, we should be seeking God and praying instead? Now look at what comes right after the ask, seek, knock verse, the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. When I look at the other kids in youth group, I know they are Christians. I can see God in their lives. But if I look at one of them and start wondering, does she read the Bible at home? Or does he have any prayer life at all? Or do these people use bad language when they're hanging around with non-Christian friends? I might lose the ability to see God in their lives. I would only be able to see the sin. That's not what I want other people to see when they look at my life. I want people to see God when they look at me. So when I look at them, I try really hard not to seek the sin. I only want to seek God, because I know Christ lives in every believer.